Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome in, hour two of the program. I am watching a little bit of Brewers-White Sox baseball. A little controversy, a lot of arguing. I saw more F-bombs because I'm a good lip reader, Steve DeSager.
You and Vin Scully, and he's retired, so take it over.
I'll take over that mantle for him. I tell you what, there was a call that was not made on Christian Yelich that, well, led to what became a blowout situation and a 7-0 Brewers lead. What did that mean? Tony La Russa got himself tossed, and many other players in the dugout, well, they gave the umpire his 2 cents. Now, the umpire had an altercation with Yelich just a couple of weeks back. It all ties together. John Cena's just made his way to the ring on SmackDown. That's right. We cover all sports and sports entertainment.
Sports.
Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason's off. That's the voice of Steve DeSager that you hear covering all things for us tonight.
Hey,
head on a swivel.
Hello.
Great conversations, deep conversations, data points. Looking at the Dodgers, there will be no Kenley Jansen heart palpitations for fans tonight. So
but he is,
that's a positive.
He is the closer. I mean, as soon as the game was over last night, of course, manager Dave Roberts of LA was asked about that, and he says, yeah, this 1 week is not going to change my mind on him as closer overall. That was essentially the quote.
Now, before we get to, well, changes in coaching staffs, see what I did there?
Oh, very good.
We've got the idea, though, is the trade deadline's coming up, and I would think that this week, as well as the number of injuries and issues affecting the Dodgers pitching staff, I know there was a continuance in the Trevor Bauer case earlier today and the presumed extension indefinitely of his leave of absence.
The judge has set aside August 2nd and 3rd and another date later in August for the hearing, and Bauer was there today, and there's a defense that needs to be prepared. So this is going on a little while longer. And this is just to have the restraining order request dealt with.
Right. So you've got Bauer, you've got Kershaw injured, you got Dustin May. We know there's a lot of shuffling going on, but this expands perhaps the wish list for the Dodgers beyond, hey, you know, we probably need another person for the rotation and to eat some innings along the way, and now we probably have to look at the back end of our staff as well.
The Dodgers are having essentially a bullpen game or two twice every 5 days. In a five-man rotation, there's a hole now where Trevor Bauer's spot comes up and a hole now where Clayton Kershaw's spot comes up because Kershaw's not pitching this month. It's the inflammation of the arm. They're not talking like it's serious, that things are progressing well, but they're holding him out, and they know they have a chance at the playoffs yet again, and they want him healthy for that. By the way, when he was healthy and not overused either before or in the playoffs last year, look how great he was last year. So, okay. Fine, if that's the direction you're going, I can see the logic in that. So who's tonight's Dodger starter? It's David Price. Now, granted, he comes in with a 4-0 record, but it's David Price, who you're not expecting yet again to go five innings. This is a guy who didn't pitch at all last year after they acquired him with Mookie Betts. And so really, they're, what do they call that, lengthening and stretching him out?
Yes.
Like you would through a long spring training. That's kind of what they're doing with Price. So I guess he's part of the starting rotation. He keeps getting starts, but he's not a guy that goes out there and, oh, he might give us 6 innings tonight. It's not that type of thing.
I think I just got the funniest image ever sent to me from our executive producer, Justin Frostberg. We send a little, you know, snarky things back and forth over the course of a work week, especially if they start to dominate the internet. Related to a story we cover, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
I just got the Guardians logo for Cleveland with the sad Jordan face at the front of it instead of the baseball. I hadn't seen sad Jordan face in a while. So
there's a little Cleveland Craig Elo connection maybe there as
perhaps.
Well.
Yeah, getting a little bit crazy. But that is a story that is going to have legs because, Let's face it, the people in Cleveland are none too pleased. Kenny Rhoda joined us last hour. Mr. Cleveland, friend of the show. We'll hear from him as football season gets underway.
You know, I think the proper, and we did talk about this with him, the proper the way to characterize the response is not that people are ready to march with torches and pitchforks about it. It's just, that's it?
Right, that's it.
And it is kind of the reaction I had when the Clippers got their new logo in the last couple of years. Like,
we're going to make changes. Okay. We're going to do this. It's like, wait, what?
All right. It's kind of the reaction I have when some coaches are hired, and I feel like you hired a search firm for that?
Well, no, that's the greatest scam going. Consultants out there. You know someone.
No,
in the
you're
building.
Right. You're in
someone
radio.
In the building is
you're
doing
correct.
Is
yes.
doing most of the work, and then you're taking credit for it by slapping your logo on it. Trust me, I did that at Yahoo. Basically, they took a report we'd written of team of about five of us, paid these folks crazy money, and let them live in the San Francisco Bay Area over a year. And look, they picked up some of the bar tabs. But beyond that, it was, wait, they got credit for it. They all got bonuses, and we got nothing.
So
all the stuff that we suggested was what happened. So someone in the room... They're going to get credit or blame for this.
There's 1,000 suggestions or submissions, unofficial submissions for this new Cleveland Indians logo. They're going to become the Guardians next season. And then this is what they come up with?
Yeah. Well,
this costs money to go through the process.
That's right.
Oh, well.
Someone civic-minded, perhaps, thinking, hey, we're going to need some city money at some point.
You know what
something
really...
Something we're working for?
Speaking of the civic-minded, I assume that longtime Cleveland residents knew the reference. And to hear our guest, who's Mr. Cleveland, say, you know, that whole traffic guardians thing, that tower on the bridge near the ball, it never crossed my mind. Don't know it, don't see it. Oh, yeah, that's right, it's there.
There it is, you know,
wow.
Knowing your city's history. And that's one to grow on. As everybody that does radio listening, hi, y'all.
That would be kind of like the Dodgers change. Okay, pardon for me even saying this out loud. It would be as if the Dodgers changed the name to something that's on that 3rd Street bridge that crosses from East L.A. to Dodger Stadium. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, it's there. But wait a minute, we're naming our team after something
there,
on the bridge?
There is something to be said for that.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm okay, but I'm not from Cleveland. Look, in terms of that, the refusal of people to acknowledge that the team name is changing to that, there's going to be some resistance. Also, resistance as we get to training camp, and we've seen it play out in social media. We talked about DeAndre Hopkins yesterday. We've talked a lot about Cole Beasley, who really, anybody that's a casual NFL fan knows more about Cole Beasley now in the last 3 weeks than they probably had ever known before.
Quite a few stories about a possession receiver.
Yeah, no, and then he called himself the best slot receiver in the game. Rank him! No, but we knew there were going to be issues coming into camp and had been whispered and talking about protocols and how, not only for players, but also for coaches as to their availability in on the sideline.
Not just coaches, tier one staff, period. Yeah, it goes even beyond coaches.
But for the moment, we're going specific to the coaching staffs because Rick Dennison, assistant coach for the Vikings, offensive line coach, the run game coordinator.
Longtime Kubiak guy, and they've got Kubiak Jr. essentially running things now, so this is a link to keep him on staff and keep the same, you know, run game coordinator.
Well, that's
keep
just
all
it.
Of that.
Continuity and terminology and all of those things. We talk about it all the time, Steve, right? Why we I think as much as folks might want to shake their fist in anger at the Patriots for all those years, they had a core that stayed together.
That's right.
Which means
and some came back.
People in.
Yeah.
Right. And if they left and it didn't find the grass greener on the other side, took their cash and then needed a gig, they came back. Players included. Right? And to find their way
sometimes,
back into the system. And we talk about Pittsburgh. They don't fire coaches. Now, most years they have a winning record, so they don't need to. But the idea of continuity and that consistency
it benefits
is,
the
is,
players,
is
the organization. Absolutely.
So for the Vikings now.
Except in the case of the Bengals, but that's another thing.
Yeah, but it's a new day. It's a new day.
Yes, it is.
Marvin Lewis started it.
That's right.
They couldn't get over after that first playoff game, but he started it for all those years. QB1, Andy Dalton.
Who's going to be what?
I
the
thought you
star
were gonna,
of,
I thought you were going to laugh at that. Oh, no, because you don't live in the Twitterverse like the rest of us. because that was one of the big thing that the Bears kept reiterating, that no matter what story
that
was.
That protects sanity, by the way.
No, yeah. That's probably a good idea. Andy Dalton, they just kept putting the picture. There's our QB1.
Hey, look at all the playoff games he went to. Years in a row.
Even though we brought in Justin Fields, that's QB1. It's like, really?
Yeah, so
by the way, you're paying $10 million to your third string guy. But so my blood pressure doesn't go off the charts.
That notwithstanding, I do agree with your original point that continuity, just as it does in offices as well as in sports teams, can be a very good thing. And so the Vikings have had it, even though there's a change with offensive coordinator. And here you have an assistant that is reportedly out after refusing the COVID vaccine. Although I will say that's just an ESPN report about Rick Dennison. There was an actual statement from the team that merely said discussions are ongoing with him.
Well, so, and that's it, right? It's as of right now, because look, anything is, I'm walking away, right? That was the DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know that I could be in this league anymore.
Or.
And then he immediately came back with, I got 9 years left.
There you go.
Right. Okay. You also realized you were going to have to pay back $22 million, but that's a whole other thing. As you said, tier one staff, coaches, front office executives, equipment managers, scouts. And then you also have at New England, Cole Popovich, who is actually related to Greg Popovich.
Did not know that, by the way.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stories.
Apparently he did not know that for a long time.
How about that? But sometimes you find things. People keep asking me if I'm related to Mark Harmon because I'm so devilishly handsome and talented. The answer is my grandmother thinks so. Anyway.
Thank you.
Midwest guys, all those kind of things.
It did echo our sentiments. Mark Harmon, by the way, now that you mention him on a sports show, former star quarterback at UCLA.
There you go. Yeah, and as soon as I started doing media work, he got NCIS. Guess what I was called on radio spots for a long time? Anyway.
It's either that or Michael.
Yeah, no, just call me Harmon.
Take your pick.
Call me Sir. That's it. I'm good.
So you mentioned the Popovich.
He's a co-offensive line coach. Now, in his situation, it was termed that he's probably just gone for this year. 36 years old, guy on the staff, co-offensive line coach. So it's not his unit. There's, you know, someone else already in place to run with it, because obviously they've lost some personnel and longstanding coaches on that staff here the last couple years as well. But it gets everybody into a frenzy, and we'll get into Dak Prescott later, but just the idea that you've made a choice. The NFL, as we talked about yesterday, has decided here's our straight line towards everybody getting paid, collecting paychecks, not having to play with the schedule, move and cancel,
not having
to everything else,
less than full houses. We talked earlier in tonight's show about the Packers actually lost millions for the last fiscal year. And by the way, that's not a figure they can make up. They have shareholders to report to.
But that's the beauty of the Packers.
It
right?
is. For the rest of us, we learn things.
Right? That's just it. For the NFL, it's a lot of guesswork. And we hear the rumors of this is what was paid out by network XYZ. But when the Packers have to give their statements, well, that's a whole other animal.
Yeah,
so, and now we get to extrapolate and figure out.
So this is a real thing, and the company, in this case it's the NFL, say, we're not going to lose on this. And so this is how you employees are going to follow. The context is from yesterday, because it was the NFL telling teams yesterday that COVID outbreaks among the unvaccinated players could lead to the forfeited games, and the protocols, of course, for the unvaccinated include the mask mandate at the facility, not being allowed to eat with teammates at the team cafeteria and the rest. Players are not required, though, to receive the vaccine.
Right.
Tier one staff are.
Right. Tier one has to. Players don't have to, but based on all the rules,
life will be more difficult.
And life is going to be more difficult. And if a game does get to the point where they have to ponder cancellation, think about your peer pressure. Think about the locker room. This is the, you should get the vaccine without telling you you should get the vaccine.
That's right.
We saw Stephon Diggs. We saw other players posting their vaccination cards.
He did,
and
yes.
And making their point in Diggs specifically.
Manuel Sanders, yeah.
Right, their quotes have been fantastic. Accountability, availability. Don't have time to deal with no BS during the season. That was from Emmanuel Sanders. So we'll talk with Jason Cole, one of our buddies, friends of the show, editor-in-chief at fansided.com, longtime NFL scribe, Hall of Fame voter. Here coming up in about 5 minutes, Steve, because I gotta imagine he's heard from a number of folks around the league related to today's news of coaching staffs and, well, never one to hold his tongue when players start to head to their social media accounts. He's next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We go out to the hotline and we get our guy, Jason Cole, at JasonCole62. On Twitter is where you find him. Editor-in-chief, fansided.com, NFL, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. He probably has some thoughts on Calvin Johnson, but we'll put those aside for the moment. How are you, J. Cole?
I'm fantastic. But I thought Smith was in Detroit doing a remake of Gross Point Blank.
Or maybe.
Right. Like, is he going to, like, some high school reunion randomly?
No, his wife's family all there.
No, I know the reason why he's there. But he has to do something else while he's in Detroit, because it's Detroit.
Dude, he's just hanging out at White Castles all night. I'm not even kidding. He got pulled over. This was part of the lexicon of the show last week. He got pulled over last week, and people immediately, like, he put it on Twitter, so we brought it up to start the show, and he eventually had to admit that he had just left the airport and they were heading to a White Castle, and he was programming in where the nearest one was, but he hadn't put his lights on, so he got pulled over.
He was in such a hurry.
Yeah.
He could not even put his lights on.
Correct.
Or you have to be, if you're from L.A. and you have to admit that you're going to a White Castle, you can't put your lights on because you want to be stealth about it.
Well, all of those things come together.
Or are we combining, like White Castle with Knight Rider?
Ooh, nice. Like, and then we can have William Daniels be the voice of Jason Smith's car.
No programming needed there.
What does this have to do with football, you dare say? Absolutely zero.
Well, it all ties together. I mean, we had some great quotes from Jerry Jones, and he actually sounded more like Smith's impression in cursing and stuff than I think I'd ever heard him. So we had that.
Yes, he was good. I mean, the only part was, you know, and I know he laughed because I couldn't figure out why I screwed this thing up. And screwed is not exactly the right word.
Yes.
And he's kind of winking and smiling because everybody knows. Jerry, you did it because of yourself, okay? You couldn't, you know, like, let's be real about it. But, yeah, I thought it was hysterical. I mean, the whole thing about Barry Switzer looking, how'd you screw this up? Like, it's just classic.
I just like that we got a Barry Switzer story because it's always just been this guy got to jump in and grab a title. And he was dismissed as basically just being a hall monitor.
He was like Kevin Hart in Ride Along. That's what it was.
That's well put. Now, of course, we do have a lot of NFL news floating about. We go to Green Bay where, all right, contract negotiations break off for Davante Adams. And we have the Westgate and other sports books taking the Packers and NFC North odds and win totals off the board. What say you on the eve of training camp?
Not good. Like, is this the, you know, like, if you're Brian Gutekunst, right, the GM of the Packers, like, are you going home, like, kicking your dog every single night? Like, it's not my fault. It's not my fault just because Rodgers blamed me. I mean.
Yeah, you're just going to gently move the dog away from your seat and you're going to collapse. That's what you're going to do. And try to figure out what happened to the perfect world that you had with your MVP QB. And now you're well, circling the drain here, and you're villain number one.
How far back does January seem like to Brian Gutekunst when they were in the playoffs? Like, how far away does that seem like 6 decades ago? And if we did, like, a picture of Brian Gutekunst and what he looked like in January and how much his hair is grayed between then and now, like, it would be like one of those photos of, like, when the president takes over and then 8 years later they look like they've aged by 40 years. Like, that's got to be what it's like for him. I mean, like, he can't even go to a sandwich shop. There's a really cool sandwich shop right down the street from Lambeau Field. It's really nice, okay? I've gone there many, many times, as you can tell. It's not Art's Deli, But it's really
Can I
nice.
Send you Art's Deli? I feel like that was just a – I need to send you at least a giant stack of sandwiches.
It was a jab. It was a direct
Oh, no, I caught if that, it, yeah.
If Smith was there, that would be a saber across the neck. But that's a different thing. You know, since he's the one who, you know, thinks that he got away with such a great deal. Anyways, you know, look, he can't even go in that sandwich shop without one of the ladies in that place going, what are you doing with the Adams contract? Rodgers is screwed up enough, and you're doing the Adams contract now? You can't even do this right. I mean, I can see it happen.
Jason, this is Steve, and question about yesterday.
I know who you are, Steve. Yes, I know.
Yeah, I sound different than Mike also, maybe. Yesterday, yeah. The story was about the possible COVID outbreaks and player vaccination. The story today about coach Tier 1 personnel vaccination. To you, as a longtime football reporter, do you get why the NFL's approaching this way? Is it very black and white to you, and do you agree with the approach?
This is the sledgehammer approach.
Yeah, right.
Right. I mean, like, do this or else. Are you getting it? Like, Cole Beasley, all that talk was really nice. You can have that. You can, and some of you older coaches or, you know, stubborn coaches, that's really nice. We really appreciate that. None of you guys are screwing this up. And if you are, we're going to point the thing right at you. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing right now. They're making it plainly obvious. And look, if Cole Beasley wants to take a stand on this issue and some other players want to take a stand, I'm fine with that. That doesn't bother me. But you're taking a big risk. So proceed with caution. And part of me is like, Michael Irvin is not necessarily wrong. There are sacrifices you make for the greater good of your team. Okay? Taking a vaccine is not such an overwhelming sacrifice. Yes, is there some limited amount of danger out there, and is it not FDA approved and all those other things? Look, millions upon millions upon millions of people are taking it.
Yeah.
You know, and generally it's going very well, okay, when you take it. Go ahead and do it for your team so that you don't screw up the season. Don't be the distraction. Don't be that guy.
So you agree, in other words, with the NFL's approach?
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, this the show needs to move along in an orderly fashion. Okay, that's what their business is. If you want to be part of the show, this is the sacrifice you have to make to be part of the show. And if you choose not to, like, we can't force you, but there will be consequences that you have to pay, and the people are going to look at you going, you're the guy who screwed it up. But that's okay. If you're willing to live with that, go ahead. I understand.
Jason, think the thing for me when it comes down to the, you know, I'm doing my research or I haven't finished my research, stuff like Sam Darnold had been saying, et cetera. But we're talking about a sport that it's always been whatever I need to do to get back out on the field. Shoot me up with X.
Yes.
Did they ever think about the long-term effects of Toradol and just say, you know what, I'd rather just be out and potentially lose my job and livelihood? How many guys said, hey, I'm not taking that? I mean, obviously it's a stretch, but it's still, when we're talking about the world of football and what you know versus what you don't, you know, there's going to be some bit of risk to any of it. And well, not to mention going in between the white lines.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, you know, like, you're really worried about a vaccination, but you're going out and you're playing football for a living.
Right.
Like, I mean, like, there's this disconnect in that whole way of thinking. All right. And again, I don't blame guys for taking a certain stand if they truly, truly believe in this. Okay. But some of the guys who, like, you know, the guy from Washington, who's the defensive end, I can't remember his name, who's basically saying, I haven't done my homework. Well, what have you been doing?
Right.
Like, this is not, like, this didn't, like, come out 2 weeks ago. Like, this has been going on for months and months and months. And by the way, you work for an NFL team. They've got a lot of access to medical information. Just saying, you know, like, all sorts of medical information. And your union's there. They have access to medical information. So the guys who are, you know, choosing not to do this, with some lame excuse, that bothers me. The ones, I mean, Cole Beasley, I have a certain amount of respect. He doesn't want to put something in his body that he's not completely sure of. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't necessarily buy the argument completely, but that's his stand and that's his choice, okay? But again, you're willing to make that choice. You take a certain risk. And that risk is if you have an outbreak on your team and you can't play, you're going to forfeit. And if you want to take a stand for yourself personally, then you have to take the risk that you're going to be the one to blame if things go wrong. That's how this works because guess what? It's a team, you know, it's a team activity. You're part of a group. And again, if you want to take individual stands, great. But if you want to be part of a team, you need to join in the activity or bear the brunt of the responsibility if things go wrong.
Freedom of choice, but not freedom of consequence as we flow. So last one from me real quick, J. Cole, as you get on, you know, the training camps and teams starting to descend outside of this issue and what it means locker room to locker room, is there one team in particular that you're thinking could be the most delicious theater for us to watch?
Oh, I mean, the Patriots are the most delicious team to watch because they spent all this money in the offseason. They brought back Cam Newton. They drafted, you know, Mac Jones. They, you know, where are they? And meanwhile, you know, like, you know, Brady's still dancing around Tampa right now in probably a semi-drunken stupor throwing,
yes,
you know, trophies around. And Belichick's got to look at that. I'm sure, like, I'm sure Robert Kraft, you know, called Belichick into the office and said, you know, you see this thing where they're on the boat and he's throwing the trophy? Shouldn't that have been us? Like going through downtown Boston? We let that guy go? And he made them a Super Bowl champ? Like, what's going on here? There's pressure on Belichick. It's all right there. And he's got to face Brady this season. I'm curious about New Orleans and how that's going to play out without Michael Thomas.
Right.
And obviously with which guy is going to end up being the quarterback, you know, it's most likely going to be Jameis Winston. There's a lot of theater to that one. But if you want to talk about pressure on somebody, look at Bill Belichick. and the rest of his division got better. Like Buffalo's real good. The Dolphins are getting better. The Jets aren't.
I was going to say, they at least changed their coach. So they have that going for them.
What is it like to be a fan of the Jets and to vacation in Detroit?
There you go.
What kind of combination is that?
There's got to be a book that he can write on that combination. Deep psychological thriller.
And a Syracuse football fan.
Well, there's that too.
Wow. This is like...
And he's a Mets fan.
A Mets fan and the Knicks?
And Hartford Whalers.
Yeah.
Knicks too?
Yeah.
Oh, good God. Like, this is self-loathing.
Does this really make you understand the last 7 years of hanging out with us on Fridays a little more?
Wow. He needs me.
He does. He does. There's no question about it.
He needs me to bring some happiness to his life.
And you do.
That's what I'm here for.
That's right. Every week. At Jason Cole 62 on Twitter.
I'm there for Jason Smith. I really am.
We appreciate you. You're a man of the people and a pillar of the community. You're the best. Have a great week, buddy.
Later,
thanks
guys.
For
Be
hanging
good.
Out.
Take care.
That's Jason Cole. We just did the therapy for Smith, and he wasn't even here.
In absentia.
Hey, exactly. He's Steve DeSager in for Jason Smith. I am Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we're going to hear a speech. He's going to show up for the Hall of Fame ceremony, but there's certain names you just don't expect to hear. What are we talking about? Well, we'll tell you next here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Here on a Friday night, Steve DeSager in for Jason Smith. We got the Olympics opening ceremony rebroadcast going on, some Olympic competitions.
Absolutely,
Major
we
League
do.
Baseball.
You got the road race with cycling. Last I checked, it's like 80, 90 miles to go. But are you aware that the ban on fans does not extend past Tokyo?
Right.
And so this is a road race, and they're going to finish up at a place that apparently has grandstand capacity of 22,000. Well, with the 50% capacity limitations, 11,000 people can see the finish of this, and fans have been going into this Fuji International Speedway to see the finish of this Saturday event. It's Saturday there already.
Yeah, I got to assume if you're in country or you'd had some travel plans, you're like, all right, what events can we go to? And you're making the most of it, right? Since
it's a short list.
Yeah, it's a short list. You know, we joked a little bit yesterday about, you know, the rowing competitions and finding your way to be able to catch a second of that. And, you know, Chris Perfett, our technical producer yesterday, did crew. He's like, that wouldn't happen. I'm like, dude, run with the bit. Run with the joke. I love you. Run with the joke.
We do have
talked about it being a booze cruise and a whole nine yards. It was great. Yeah.
We do have our first gold medal of the Tokyo Games to China in women's air rifle. And also, did you see the item? It was even before the opening ceremonies that a judo athlete from Algeria is going home. He withdrew from the competition because he would have had to face an Israeli opponent. And then you have the Brotherhood of Man, let's all come together, the entire 3 hours of that ceremony, knowing that that was the most recent story from the previous night in Olympic competition.
We have that. We have a couple of, different ways to protest and make your points made about different aspects of the Olympic Games as we watch Naomi Osaka ascend to light the cauldron. Not often do we have a positive connotation when you use the term cauldron.
Well, what would the negative ones be? Toil and
exactly.
Trouble.
Exactly. Normally we're talking about witches and problems, aren't we?
It's the second Shakespeare reference of the show.
Well, that's what we do.
Both with Macbeth, right?
Well, it's an eclectic show.
Wow.
Steve.
Two for two.
We have a... We work on many levels, depending on where you are.
By the way, although there is that new 3-on-3 basketball competition that has started at the Olympics tonight, yeah. U.S. men did not qualify for that. But the U.S. women do have a couple of games. Remember, it's a half-court game, so they can play two in one night, and they will be, Saturday morning, our time. But U.S. men's basketball, the regular NBA team, doesn't open play until Sunday morning, our time, against France, so it's a great matchup. But you may be aware that the first three U.S. games, if you want to see them live, we're talking men's hoops, they're only on, not only on Peacock streaming, but on the premium tier of Peacock streaming, because they're so worried, apparently, about getting people to sign up for the stinking thing.
No, sure.
They are hostage our U.S. basketball team. So don't wake up at, 5 in the morning Sunday Pacific time. Just don't bother. I'm sure it'll be on regular TV later.
Well, you've got that way to go, but you've got to try to, like all of this, you're trying to figure out where you can get your dollars and cents. Next hour, we're going to talk about Oklahoma and Texas and the
lot to talk about
and the world of the changing landscape of college football. But mentioned it a little bit with Jason Cole. We're just shy of the Hall of Fame game and Hall of Fame speeches, and Calvin Johnson's going in. That's great. And we know we've got the restrictions on time. They're going to get played off like it's a Hollywood award show, the whole nine yards. But we remember Calvin Johnson leaving the Lions when he was at 30 years old, 4 years into that contract extension. And when asked on a Zoom call about thanking folks, I'm definitely going to bring up a lot of people I'm thankful for. So many people during my career that had an impact, and those specific people I'm going to thank. At least I have them on the ticker. But I'm not going to mention everybody. As far as the Lions, hey, I got nothing to say. Barry Sanders didn't thank them either.
Wow.
Going back to 2004. So, yeah, it's one of those, at least he's going to show up, right? He's not going to be Terrell Owens in some other time zone.
That's a separate
in
thing.
Another stadium.
So he's other least, issues.
So he's at least going to show up.
Enough to say this guy's Hall of Famer, but Calvin Johnson, I mean, Jerry Rice was like 75 yards per game receiving for his career. Calvin Johnson's about 85 yards receiving
game. And that's great.
Ridiculous.
When your guy's myopic and doesn't throw to anybody else, you just push people out of the way and go get it.
I mean,
also,
he had a great
world.
Career.
He's Steve DeSanger. I'm Mike Harmon. And coming up next, we get into Texas, Oklahoma, and the meetings behind the scenes.